Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you this morning, and Father, we pray and we invite you in, and Father, we pray for your presence. God, today, many people drug themselves into church after catastrophe after catastrophe, hurt after hurt, addiction after addiction, and pain after pain. But God, we know when we come in and assemble, Father God, there you are in our midst. So God, today, we pray for you to be in our midst, to speak through us through this animated sermon, Father God, that you, Lord God, would speak to us individually. God, we pray for a blessing and an anointing upon the baptismal service at the end of the service. And Father, we would ask that you alone would be glorified. Father, we do give you all praise, honor, and glory. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, I hopefully some of you come expecting today, and you know, one of the things that we begin to do is we begin to understand that I think visual aid is one of the best things and sermon props that I can do and use. And so I've been doing archive sermons for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks. And every time I want to cut it off, someone said, hey, how about that one? And they talk about it, and it's funny because every time it's the one that's visual, all right? So the visual must really stick with us, amen? All right, I know it does with me also, so I try to use a lot of visual aids and visual sermons. But I have a disclaimer to make, okay? I like to get these volunteers, but this is so great today that I had to have them sign the waiver, okay? So they had to sign a waiver today, for, you know, and it's at their expense and for you to enjoy, amen? Everybody say, all right. Say, I'm glad I'm not the sucker. Go ahead and say it, I'm glad I'm not the sucker. All right, suckers, come on forward. Just joking with him, but come on. See, I got some predestined suckers today, man. And what they are is volunteers. Praise God for volunteers. And amen. Okay, they've already been well-versed, know exactly where to go. And if they get in the wrong spot, sorry about their luck. So there's a, and you know, I did this randomly, okay, in my office when we was praying, the praise and worship team, and they was all upstairs praying. So I said, I need somebody to really help me today. And they said, oh, I'll help you, Pastor. Oh, here's number one, number two. And then I say, here's what you're going to do. So what we begin to look at, they're trying to fit around here arguing right now. Can't get this argument out of them. Just kidding. As you begin to look at what they're doing up here, you know, you guys remember mom, grandma sometimes? Remember? Anybody ever get one of these across there? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to use this today if need be. So kind of not what I'm thinking, but today I want to talk to you about a cake. And we begin to think about a cake, and you think, what in the world does a cake have to do with anything? Amen? Well, God gives me some weird stuff, all right? Everybody say, my pastor's weird. Amen. So I really am. So I'm weird for Christ, but I began to think about this, and I've done this sermon a few years ago, and it had great impact, and so I was asked to do it again this week, and I'm going to do it. But as we begin to look at these fine, we might as well just go ahead and give them a hand clap today. Yeah. Because I can tell you this, they deserve it. So one of the things I see missing, which we probably ought to get up here anyways, is you might be needing some of these. So here you go. So don't fight over them, just a few there. But as we begin to think about cake, I want to talk about a cake, but I want to talk about a cake with purpose. Everybody say purpose. We got to understand that, you know, you begin to wonder what's going on with the world. The number one selling book of all times other than the Bible is written and is talking, it's bought and purchased by... Okay, the secular world also is the purpose-driven life, and second is like it, the purpose-driven church. So Rick Warren penned these, and we thought, well, how good is this for the church? But and then all society is always looking for purpose. Everybody say purpose. So we begin to figure out what purpose is, and some of us God has repurposed, amen. And I know that if you was lost and now you're found and you're born again and delivered and set free, we was repurposed, amen. We was headed for a destiny that was dark, it was dangerous, and it was hell. And then all of a sudden, God seemed fit to find us. And see, I know for me, he brought me from the trials of life, amen. We've been through some stuff, haven't we? It should have killed us, should have wiped us out, should have checked us out. It hijacked us, but God brought us back. And we know that that's every one of us who are born again believers. The devil should have killed us while he had a chance. Because now what we are, we're devil chasing and we beat him up and we're demon possessed, removing people. And what we begin to do is we begin to speak against that darkness. That's what this cake is about today. Everybody say purpose. Purpose. Today we're going to talk about purpose-driven cake. Weird, isn't it? Okay, so just work with me. It'll all work out. So we begin to look at this and we begin to look at these elements up here. So when I say yours, pick it up, all right, and prepare it. Got it? Are they well practiced already? So the first one we have is butter, and butter's will. And he said, oh, what'd you say about when I give you butter?
I'm butter because I'm always on a roll.
Yep. He butter because he's always on a roll. All right. So we'll see what kind of roll. We unpack your butter and just leave it in the dish. All right. And then the next one we have, and I see what we finally forgot. We forgot the spoons. So could somebody get me some spoons? Yeah, just take your time. We got all day. Thanks, baby. So we look at butter, and we begin to look at butter, and butter, he's always on a roll, okay? So we look at butter, and we start to think about what butter represents. Butter can represent divorce, betrayal of a friend, or divorce because of betrayal of a friend, or just betrayal in general. But we look, and we begin to understand that butter has a representation of betrayal, okay? So everybody say betrayal. So we begin to understand in life, we're going to have some butter. We're going to get betrayed because you're on a roll, okay? We begin to understand that what happens is all of a sudden we begin to think about that cake and the ingredients that goes into it. So we're going to have Will go ahead and take a big bite of that butter. You're on a roll. You're on a roll. Take a bite of that butter, chew it up. Yeah, because it's good. This is cake. Take a bite of it. Get it. Come on. Bite it. Chew it up. You're on a roll. Chew it up. Now smile at everybody. Watching your teeth, smile at them. Smile. It's on a roll, amen. So we begin to look at this and we begin to understand that what we're looking at is butter and it's on a roll. They're talking about betrayal. So everybody likes butter, but how did that taste? Not very good, right? Not very good. So it's an ingredient in that cake that we're talking about and a purpose in life, but it's not very good when we become divorced or betrayed or something happens to us. The second we got is Miss Sherry. Hold yours up. And then this one right here, get you a spoon. All right, get you a spoon. Everybody cheer on now. Yeah. I got it here. Sorry, I got it backwards, I think. Yeah, I did. Yep. This is yours. Yep. My bad. I was wrong. Good thing. All right, so then this one is sugar, and this sugar, what it represents, is a promotion of your job or when you're graduated from college or when something's going really good. It's a good ingredient. Take a bite of it. Hurry. Everybody cheer on. Cheer on. Oh, wait a minute, it's wrong. It's the wrong ingredient. So all of a sudden, that's horrible, isn't it? I know it is. I'm just kidding, but here you go. I got the right one. You can try that one, see if it'll help balance it out. All right? So then all of a sudden what happens is all of a sudden things are so sweet, you know you got the best number, right? But all of a sudden sugar represents you got the wrong thing. You intended to go the right way. You intended to have the right ingredients. You went to college. You set the course. You was doing what's right. But all of a sudden it turns out bitter. So then all of a sudden, God turns it around, take a bite of sugar now. And what was it? She said, life ain't nice, is what I got out of it. Oh, that's a little better, isn't it? So there you go. Let's give her a hand. So tell us how the sugar tasted. How'd the sugar? Sugar's really good, amen. But we know so often that we have the butter in life, we have the sugar, got some good ingredients, things are going well. And then all of a sudden comes the egg. Miss Molly's got the egg. Crack you open an egg here, Miss Molly. Yeah, she's a trooper, isn't she? Amen. Anybody that volunteered to eat a raw egg? Yeah, that's you. Yeah, this one's fine. I don't think you'll be able to eat two of them. Okay, what you doing with that napkin? Get you a spoon, all right? Then look at the egg. Now, the egg can be things like rape, childhood molestation, the things that begin that looks like it's a good baking thing, but something happened to you when you was young and you carried it through all throughout life, and it disrupts your life from beginning to end. It causes you to become addicted. It causes you to go down the wrong path, make the wrong decisions, and you wonder, how in the world did I get so far and get so messed up when I knew I wanted to do what was right? So, Molly, if you would, hold up your egg and take a bite of egg. You got to take a bite of egg, Molly. This is how we work. Just a little bit of it. Come on, just a little bit. Come on, cheer on. Molly, Molly, Molly. Woo! Yeah, look, she likes it, all right? So we begin to look at the egg, and we begin to think about this egg and these things that happened to us, and you seen the look on her face. What was it? It was bitter. It was horrible. Did you like it? How'd it taste? Bitter, right? So we begin to look at betrayal and bitterness and the things that set into us, and all of a sudden we're going further down the road. Then we begin to look at the next one, which is a good one. Mark, hold it up. And Mark is the flower. Mark's the flower in the cake. Everybody cheer him on. Yes, go ahead and get your spoon. Get your spoon, buddy. Get that big spoon. There you go. Now we look at flour. It has a representation of losing your house, bad health, losing a loved one, and things of that sort. All of a sudden, you're going along and you're doing life, and all of a sudden, something falls apart. Something falls off. Something turns around. Something quits, and something don't keep going like it's supposed to. And you know what this is like. This is life. So flour. Everybody say flour.
Flour.
All right, Mark, show us. Don't take no sissy by. Show them how it's done, buddy. That's it. Lisa said, Mark, don't you do that. Oh, yeah. Is that good, Mark? Smile for him. Go ahead. So you begin to look at that flour, and you got to swallow because we got to know how it tastes. How it tastes. See, the things you go through to be one of the leaders of the church, isn't that awesome, all right? So you begin to look at that flour and begin to understand the butter, the sugar. We understand the eggs. And then the flour looks, the flour is the taste of the cake, amen? It's the ingredient that holds everything together, and everything's going together. You're held together, but all of a sudden something blows up in your life. Everybody say flour. We know what it was like when we was going in the right direction and we got hijacked. The next one is sugar. Salt, my bad. So you've seen how Sherry reacted. Now, we got a trooper up here, and Lauren's going to show you. Lauren, hold your salt up. You've seen how Sherry took it, so now we're going to find out if Lauren's a sissy, right? Huh? You ain't no sissy, are you? Look at her. All right, so we're going to have to cheer her on this one, okay, because she knows what's coming. Now, hold on. Now, salt is this. You're going through life, your spouse dies, a child dies, someone dies, and you're going through there, and all of a sudden what it does is it knocks us off track. What it does is it allows us to be thinking in a way that's contrary to the Word of God. We knew what we were supposed to be doing. We know what we ought to be doing, but the person that was telling us, that was our representation to and of Christ, all of a sudden there's a death, and all of a sudden we begin to ask God, why, God? Amen? So now we're going to go ahead and take a bite of the salt. Oh, that's a little spoonful, but Sherry had a big heaping spoonful. You can do two. Just show them you're tougher. Yeah. Let's give her a hand clap. That's great, ain't it? Go ahead and tell us how it really tastes. Oh, you still got it in your mouth. Swallow that. What's wrong with you? All right, so then we look at that salt, and all of a sudden we understand the butter, the sugar, the eggs, the flour, and the salt. And no matter how you put that salt, no matter how you try, everybody likes salt, but if you get too much salt, what happens? It tastes horrible. If you get too much life and you don't have Christ, it begins to taste horrible, amen? And then we got our final ingredient. We got Meyer's brand, the best milk in town. Amen. It's Miss Kim. I'm saying all this because her husband back here, and he said, Ryder Dairy is the best milk in town. That's where he works at, right? So she's getting ready to drink some, what's it called, milk? Liquid poison.
Oh, no, it's from
the wrong udder. Huh? Yeah, he says it's from the wrong udder if you don't drink anything but Ryder milk, okay? So, but anyways, we begin to look at the milk, and the milk has a representation, the meeting of your true love. And what happens is we begin to understand what true love is, and what love is, we know in the Bible it speaks to us on love, but all of a sudden the person you love so much, the person you're entrusted to, all of a sudden they cheat on you, they quit on you, they walk away from you, and all of a sudden you're blown up again, amen? So let's go ahead and take a drink of that good old-fashioned Meyer milk. Yeah, wrong udder milk, yes. And I'll tell you what it is after you get done drinking. It's not really milk. See, it's not Ryder milk, so it's the counterfeit, amen? So all of a sudden, we begin to look at this, and we begin to understand what's going on. As you've seen their expression all the way across here, what we did is we let that milk, we let a cat drink out of it, let it ferment a little bit, and then we let her drink it, amen? So it looked like milk, but the truth was it was contaminated, amen? So you begin to understand that's what was, as goes with life. They have some water down here as a reward for you today, so thank you for your help. And I'm doing another one next week on cooking, so if we got any new people who'd like to come into leadership, you just let me know. Be love to have you in leadership around here. Hey, where you going? He can't take no more. Look at him. All right, you got to be tough around here, right? All right, that takes the true troopers, and we really appreciate it. Let's give them another hand, amen. They deserve it. So what happens here, we got, and I'm going to tie you to some scripture today, and if you want to go with me to Romans, in the book of Romans, verses 28, I think it's 28, 27, 28, 29, I'll be in there this morning, and I think even verse 30, but listen to this, God, and I want you, they're going to put this on the board for you, and remember this, God has a way of taking things that are bad and making them good. All right, say it with me, God has a way of taking things that are bad. Go ahead and hit yourself a couple times and turn it into good. So I want that to be what you're thinking about today. So no matter what the enemy's done for you, and no matter what he's tried to help you with, the truth is the enemy's a loser, and he deserves one thing, and that's the boot. Everybody say boot. Boot. All right, I was thinking back, and you guys know a lot of the tragedy I've had in my life, and being pronounced dead and all the good stuff that comes along with some of the craziness I used to have. But I remember vividly when I came to the loving knowledge of Christ, and it was happened more than once, but one time I really remember being in a drunken stupor down on Interstate 70 and hitting a semi in the back end, totally ripping the car in two, ejecting the person that was with me out on the road, practically killing them. And I rolled, barrel rolled, and it was in a little ball, crammed inside that little ball with fractures in my neck and my back, and just broken and busted up. But you know, what I remember is this. I remember that I didn't want to talk about God, didn't believe in God, didn't want nothing to do with God. But what happened to me was this, is that when I was standing there and I was in that heap and they pronounced me dead, first the firefighter, the second the paramedic, and they said, yeah, I confirm it. I'm looking outside that car and I said, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. And I began to call on a God that I didn't even believe in. Can you say amen? I began to call on a God, and I began to say, God, if you can get me out of there. And I was looking in the car, and I seen this little hole, and inside the hole was my hip. And I tried to figure out how to get out of that. But the next thing I know, I watch me wiggle out of that car, and I get out, and I stand on the road while they're measuring it with a stick and all that, State Highway Patrol. And I begin to understand there is purpose. Everybody say purpose. It doesn't matter how sidetracked we was. It doesn't matter how sidetracked I was. At that very moment, in that very state, when I was at a place, the Bible is very clear that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Give him a hand clap of praise. I remember that very instance when I stood outside of there and I made all the empty and lying promises to my God because he saved me. And I wanted to just tell you, I thought it got better after that. But after that, I lied again. I went through another incident. I went lower and I went lower. And I would promise and I would underdeliver and underperform. And I wouldn't come to a loving knowledge of Christ. But I know that he kept with me through all of those things. So here it is again. God has a way of taking things that are bad in making them good. Here is the chiefest of sinners standing amongst you today. Amen. In Romans, Paul pens it this way. In Romans verse 8, chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, unpacking 28 first, it says, and we know that in all things, everybody say all things. In all things, God is at work. It doesn't matter how vile it looks for you today. It doesn't matter who's quit on you or betrayed you or walked out on you. It don't matter if you're eating some of these nasty ingredients today. I'm telling you, God is in the midst of baking a cake up in your life, and that cake will have purpose. Everybody say purpose. 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 It goes on to say, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So all of a sudden, I started this relationship. I began to repent. I began to accept. I began to allow God to do what he could do, and I was unable of doing. All of a sudden, I began to see this come alive. Those who love him, who have been called according to his, Ooh, man, when you start wrapping your soul and your mind and your spirit around, God has purpose no matter what the enemy's doing. We have an adversary, but when the purpose comes, verse 29, for those God foreknew, okay, everybody say foreknew. That means when you was in the womb, he already had a plan for you, amen. That means that when you was, before you breathe the first breath, God has a plan for you. That means before you started trying to figure it out, he says, I've already predestined what you're going to do in life. Oh, you're going to make some decisions. You're going to make some bad ones. You're wearing flesh. You're going to go left and right and spin around and fall down and get knocked up and stand back, knocked down and stand back up. But the truth is this, if God is before you, who in this world can be against you? Amen. Give him a hand clap of praise. For those who foreknew him, he also predestined and to be conformed to the image of his son. Remember, we are made in the image, the express image of Jesus Christ. And it says that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Now I got a note here that I want to read to you. In Romans 8:28, it says, or that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Those who love God. Who needs a love relationship today? He don't want no like relationship. He wants a love relationship, amen. You know what it is if you start liking your spouse, it's divorce, amen. You know what it's like if you start liking your kids, you won't see them no more, amen. It's called love, and we know how to turn the love monitor up when we need it. We know how to love and to woo our spouse and love our kids and love our grandparents and love the people that we want to love. But it says this or that. In all things, God works together with those who love him to bring about what is good. But all of a sudden, he begins to work with you. No matter what the enemy's trying to do is to purpose you to death or purpose you to addiction or purpose you to whatever it might be, all of a sudden, if you just begin to love God, he begins to repurpose you. He begins to do things and turn things around that you can't take credit for because you and I ain't that smart, amen. I didn't know what I was doing. I knew I just didn't believe. Everybody say I wasn't a believer. But then I come to the loving knowledge of Christ. Wow. I got an example. Give me a hallelujah, Lorenzo. Yeah. See, all of a sudden, when purpose was birthed, when he tried everything else and some old preacher walked in there and said, if you tried everything else, why don't you just give Christ a chance? He'll take you, and if you don't like it, the devil will take you back, amen? But when he began to understand and begin to know that he was purposed in life and the enemy was trying to repurpose him, God repurposed and God put him on, and it don't matter what's coming against him, he'll still holler. Hallelujah. That's right. So no matter what, God works in all things, not just isolated incidents for our good, but what evil is prevalent in our fallen world. We know that evil is prevalent, amen. But God is able to turn every circumstance around for our long-range good. Amen. So no matter how far you and I seem to go, and no matter how much we battle this old stinking flesh, the truth is God can turn it around. Everybody say, turn it around. God is not working to make us happy, but he is working to fulfill his purpose in your life, amen. Not for everyone. It is for those who love God, who are called. Everybody say called. Called according to his purpose, amen. So what happens when we repurpose and we become a born-again believer is we simply believe that God created us and God has a purpose for our life, and the devil is a stinking, no good for nothing, low life loser. Can you shout amen? So you know what the enemy wants to do is he wants to confuse you and make you think God's no good. Your husband cheated on you, your wife cheated on you, your kids quit on you, and I can go on and on and on, but the truth is the devil is a liar. Amen. And when the devil gets in the mix of your relationships or the mix of your finances or the mix of your relationships with your kids or grandkids or grandparents, the truth is he begins to sow seeds of doubt and lie. Can you say liar? It says that the enemy is a liar and the father of all lies, and we believe that, don't we? All things may not be good, but when we put it all together, well, things begin to taste just a little bit better, amen? So all of a sudden, anybody want to come up and try these individually? Nobody? No volunteers? Oh, man, where y'all at, man? Come on. But listen, things might be tasting a little bit better once you start putting them together, but I don't think anybody liked anything was up here. All right, don't taste good by itself. Don't you like to lick the spoon when grandma or mom or somebody making a cake, amen? Amen, we like to lick. Ask anybody want to lick a wooden spoon? Come on up here. Yeah, you keep sticking your tongue out. I got you, Ronnie. All right, I got you. But listen, all of a sudden what happens, although it tastes so good when you lick that spoon, many of us has done it. I remember my grandmama, Nanny, she sits there and she stirs that thing. I said, can I get some of that? She said, look, that's to make the cake. Get up out of it. I said, all right. She turned her head. I was like, I was taking it about 5 bites. All of a sudden, what happened was, she said, you feeling sick yet? And I said, oh, God, I feel sick. She said, that's what you deserve. Then she'd take that same spoon and smack me on the back of the head with it, all right? You know what I'm talking about. So God has to mold you into the shape that he wants you to be in. So as we begin to look at this baking pan, what we're simply looking at is all the ingredients. As we begin to look at these ingredients, we begin to understand. Miss Lisa, come up here, please. Hurry, rush. See, she didn't sign up. She's getting volunteer. That's what she get for being in leadership. All right, I want you to start putting these ingredients. Come on back here. You're going to be like my Vanna White. There we go. You want us to call you Vanna?
No.
All right. Now, to put them in order there. And you're going to need that, and you probably need a little of that. And she's going to go to work here. And what she's doing, she's beginning to mix those things together. She begins to take this, and what God wants to do with us is he wants to begin to shape us and mold us. And we begin to look at all these, the butter, the sugar, the eggs, the flour, the salt, and the milk. And guess what? They make a cake. And when you bring them together, what you begin to do is you begin to purpose them. Amen? You begin to purpose them. They might not taste good when they're alone, but when you put them together, there's nothing better than that baked cake. Amen? God knew how he wanted you, and I want you to take this personal. Everybody say me. God knows how he wanted you shaped before he made you. In Romans 8, 29, I just read verse 28 to you, and he says, in all things who have been called according to purpose, and in verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. Everybody say conformed. Sometimes you don't like being conformed to that pan. Sometimes you don't like being molded. You don't like having to do without. You don't have to get like giving away. You don't like being submissive. You don't like, you hear what I'm saying? You don't like being somebody's doormat. You don't like being taken advantage of. You don't like whatever it might be. But the truth is, God is purposing, God is making, God is shaping, and God is doing what he wants to do. Everybody say amen. But it goes on to say that as he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the brothers and the sisters. Listen to verse 30. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, boy, that cake's smelling good. Smell it? Can't smell it? All right, well, I'm just taking my word for it. And those he predestined, they got on the board? They don't have verse 30 on the board. Okay, well, let me tell you what it says. In verse 30, it says, and those he predestined, he also called. He also called. So you begin to understand that we know that he's working all things in your life. You begin to understand it was from the beginning of time, and all of a sudden you begin to understand all you've done is pick up the phone because he was calling, amen. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified, amen. Everybody with me still so far? All right, she looks like she's got it done. Let's hear it from Miss Vanna, amen. Good job. Now you probably want a bite for your Lee, right? No bite? Okay. Well, then what happens is that what Miss Lisa did, she began to take and she set the pan up and she began to add to it the ingredients. And then all of a sudden what happens when you begin to stir this all, man, she made a mess up here. Man. Wow. All right, but anyways, she stirs all this up and man, that looks good. I'll take a bite. I got to keep preaching. Oh, you won't bite? You won't bite? I'll get you a bite in just a minute. Hold on a minute. But then all of a sudden what happens is we begin to understand the batter's put together. God takes the batter that tastes so good and it smells so much better than it did by itself, amen. He takes the batter that tastes so good and places it in a pan that is lightly greased and that a greeting is a representation of the anointing with your anointed self. You still aren't ready. See, all of a sudden, God inhabits the praises of his people. All of a sudden, people come to the loving knowledge of Christ. And what happens? He takes that old butter, and he begins to slick it up, and he begins to get on a roll. He begins to get it ready. And all of a sudden, he begins to put you in the pan, begins to mix you with the Christian folks, gets you in the right church, gets you around the right people. Things begin to happen, and the enemy says, oh, I got to leave them alone. Oh, they just holy rollers now, man. They love God. So what happens is he says, well, if I can just make him taste the butter, I can make him taste the salt, or I can make him taste one of the ingredients, what happens? He begins to attack us and divide us, and he comes after us. And what happens is husbands are fighting wives, and wives are husbands, and the kids don't want to go to church, or the parents don't want to go to church. Nobody don't want to study the Word of God. And all of a sudden, you got to try to figure out how to get people in church. Can you see what's going on? The ingredients are mismixed, amen. All of a sudden, you got to begin to allow God to do what he wants to do. So what's he do? All of a sudden, he takes this batter, and you still ain't ready, and he's placed you in a shapeable pan. You're still wrestling with the fact of whether you are going to come to church or you're going to sleep in. You are still dealing whether you are not going to forgive your brother and sister who said something that just wasn't that big of a deal. You're still wrestling with salvation 101. I know I said I repent, but I can't forgive. The hardest person for me to forgive is me. Nobody knows me like me, but the Bible says if you can't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Salvation 101, it's nothing we did or nothing we could accomplish, but everything was done on Calvary at the foot of a rugged cross, amen. It's not about how smart we are, but guess what? He wore the crown of thorns. He took the piercing in his wrist and his feet. He was beaten beyond human recognition. He was striped for your healing. Amen. 39 times across the back with a cat of nine tails that would rip the flesh, the tendons, and the muscle from his back. So we can say in the name of Jesus, we are healed. We don't have no weak and wishy-washy God, but we got a God that redeems and the power that sets us free. I think it's time for us to go ahead and give him a little praise today.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
So just as much as you want to be used, he wants to use you, amen. All of a sudden, you begin to understand, how can he bring me out of prison? How can he bring me from overdose? How can he bring me from divorce? How can he bring me from this and from that? How can he bring me from it and use me? And all of a sudden, you begin to look back and they say, man, there's something different about that chick. There's something different about that dude, amen. I'll tell you today, 30-some years later, 20-some years later, people still look at me today, and they might look at the old me, but they begin to look up on me, and they begin to say, something surely has happened to him. There's something about him that's different today. Look, I'm not perfect just like you, but let me tell you something. I know that I got a living God that lives inside of me, and he takes care of all my mess ups, amen. So all of a sudden, he begins, he's working, and so he preheats the oven, and he sets the timer. Look, I got an oven right here, amen? So I got to turn the oven up. Hear it, king? Hear that? All right. All right, he begins to preheat the oven, and he sets that timer, and he gets it ready. You know how Grandma used to do. But then the apron's off, and she's got this spoon, and she said, look, I smack you in the head, you come around this. Okay, maybe your old grandma wasn't like mine. Mine was something else, man. But he places the pan in the oven, and as he begins to place, remember, mixed all the ingredients around, he begins to shape you, and then he takes that pan and he places it down here in the oven, and he begins to allow that thing to do what it does, amen. All of a sudden, we begin to look and see what's going on as it's preheating, the timer set. He places that pan in the oven and allows it to bake. Everybody say bake. See, God might want to be doing some baking up on you again today, amen. What you got to do is embrace the baking. And what you begin to understand, no matter how much you holler, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I can't take no more of this trial. God, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Have you ever been there? Hey, is any of us there today? Hallelujah. Yes, we are. We come to that place, and the Lord speaks back to us, and he says, the timer ain't went off, and it ain't got hot enough yet, and I just think just a few more minutes later, amen, I got some more junk I got to burn off of you. But all of a sudden, you hear the ding, you hear the buzzer, you hear the door open, and out comes the cake. Oh, wow, man, you guys getting that picture, right? All of a sudden, we begin to understand that what's going on, God is working something inside of us. Also, in baking, you have to make sure... Lisa messed up my spoon. I have to use something else here. This will be all right. I got a lady back here that wants to taste it anyway, all right? I don't let nobody go without. I'm glad you showed up today. All right, but listen, all of a sudden we begin to understand. Now listen to this. And when you hear this, say amen. I see another thing we forgot. I'll imitate it, okay? You can't see how far anyway. But all of a sudden, we begin to look and we begin to understand when the cake is in that oven and it's baking, there's some other stuff going on, amen? When God's put you back in the oven, he's mixed you together, he's put you and purposed you, and he's got you in that little square pan, what he wants to do with you and how he's beginning to repurpose you, make sure that there is just little to no, zero, not any traffic. Because just a little bit of traffic, too much traffic, will make that cake fall. Now, that's when Mamma gets the spoon out. She said, you make my cake fall. You acting a fool up here. Running through the house. I told you no running in the house. You better straighten up. Anybody ever heard that? Some of you got some good mammals, man. I heard that stuff all the time. So you better settle down, boy. I'm going to smack you in the head. You begin to understand that what happens is be careful. Listen to this. Be careful of who is walking in and out of your life. Let me say it again. Be careful who you allow to walk in and out of your life. I can spend a lot of time talking about relationships and soul ties. I think I'll go ahead and do it, amen. I think I'll go ahead and do it because here's what the problem is. Every time God repurposes us, you let that no good dude for nothing that ain't never done nothing right anyway sneak right back up in your house, right back up in your kids' life, right back up in there, and he ain't going to do nothing. He ain't going to change, but you embrace it, and you let him come back in. Well, you think you're going to get insanity doing the same thing over and expecting a different result. Go ahead and pat yourself on the back, ladies, because it ain't happening no more. But go ahead. Y'all give God a hand clap now. Ooh. You have to begin to be careful, men. Listen, men, that's what happens. All of a sudden, you get focused on Christ. You're going to church. You're praising the Lord. You're changed. You're not that same old dude no more. God begins to work something new inside of you. And then all of a sudden, here comes sister naysayer, amen, or brother no good, amen. They begin to tell you how you're a naysayer and how you ain't no good and you'll never amount to nothing. And that's the way all men are and all that stuff begins. And all of a sudden, you begin to buy the lie, amen. And what happens is we begin to allow something to tear us down when God is beginning to repurpose us. We begin to buy into the lie that we'll never amount to nothing, we're no good, and all men are exactly the same. Amen. Have we heard that? Amen. It's, some men are no good. Amen. But listen, we don't got to buy into that when we're born again. When we're born again, new things begin to happen. Can you give a hand clap of praise? Amen. So then all of a sudden we begin to understand some things about this. If you don't want to fall, you better watch out who you're hanging with, who you're letting to come in and out of your life. And if someone is looking for a spouse today, begin to look for one that does what they say, not talk the game, amen. Look for application. Look for the one that's in the Bible. Look for the one who's studying the Word, praising the Lord, and who wants to go forward and not backwards, the one that's already been to the bottom, and he's headed to the top, and he knows there's no way except for that old rugged cross up on Calvary, and there ain't nothing good in him but God. Hallelujah. Then comes the test. Are you ready for the test? You open up the oven. This is my toothpick. I forgot that's a big toothpick. But what you do is you open up the oven door and you go in there, timers went off, and you check it. Oh, everybody knows how to do that, right? Now listen, this is proprietary. If you don't know how to bake a cake, you owe me after the service. Then comes the test. Are you ready yet? That's the question, the same for us. Are we really ready to sell out for God? Listen, I've had a lot of people come to the altar of repentance, amen. They come to church one Sunday, God messes them up, amen. God hijacks them, God jumps all over them, and all of a sudden they begin to understand the purpose that they was created for since the beginning of time. You see them pour it out and fall in love, and I begin to disciple them and walk with them. And then I said, where are they at? And right now, the people that's come in this church in the 8 years we've planted is over 7,000 people. We ain't got them here today. Everybody said, uh-oh. I had a brother in the hospital doing a hospital visit the other day. And he said, hey, where's all those Cedarville kids that used to come? I said, we don't connect with them like we used to, but we got a lot of them up here. They're graduates. We got some back here in the sound booth. We got some here and there. But the truth is that the enemy wants to mess that up. Amen. So all of a sudden, we begin to look at the toothpick and understand the test. You can place a toothpick in the center of that cake, and if there's no cake when you pull it out on the toothpick, the cake is? It's ready. It's done. It's finished. It's ready. The problem with us is there is too much of us on the toothpick. Amen? So when God sticks it in and he pulls it out, he don't want to see nothing but him. Amen? Amen? So what happens is all of a sudden we can assign that to the silversmith. And what happens is when we begin to understand the silversmith, and as he begins to make that silver just as rich and pure as it is, all the impurities are being boiled up just like Christ does us. He knows that we're no good. He knows we don't deserve forgiveness. He knows we got a weak heart. He knows that we're betrayed. He knows that we're bitter. He knows all the stuff about us. And then all of a sudden he begins like that silversmith. He boils it up, but the difference is when he begins, he takes and he scrapes all that scum off and he throws it away, and all of a sudden he looks into the silver, and what he can see is himself, a reflection of himself. And that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants you to quit pushing that junk back down in there and allow it to boil up over and over again. He wants you to come to the altar of repentance. He wants you to live in repentance. He wants you to live in conviction, not condemnation. He wants you to begin to do what he's called you to do. See, all of a sudden they're too much of us, everybody say, on the toothpick. So what happens is we go back into the oven and we bake a little what? Longer. Everybody say, uh-oh. There's too much of us on the toothpick, so God allows us to cook just a little bit longer. Everybody know what I'm talking about yet? I'm speaking to some people in a hallelujah. Listen, I know all about it. I can't preach about something I don't know about. Amen. I'm telling you, I get tired of going back in that oven. But listen, the fifth thing here, and I got to share this with you. This is exciting. Listen. Once we are done, God will then give us a fresh anointing. He'll lavish us with frosting. So you know when the cake comes out, what happens is they slap some frosting on it. No, it's got to go to the cooling rack. It's got to be cooled down. You liking this when you're on fire from all the brothers and sisters says, man, what's wrong with you? You settle down. You're making us look bad. Cool down a little bit, man. Get the frosting up off you. What's wrong? Amen. Because all of a sudden I go into meetings with pastors and stuff, and I love them. They're my brothers, and they listen to my messages, so they know it's okay. Okay, but what happens is they'll say, man, what's wrong with you? You settle down. You're making us look bad. I said, what are you talking about? Let's start celebrating recovery houses. Let's go ahead and quit inviting people to church and take the church to the people. Let's go ahead and do what God told us to do, and he give us the example through Jesus Christ. Amen. So what happens is we begin to understand that what he does when it finally cools down and all of a sudden everything is done like it's supposed to be, and all of a sudden you come out of that pan and all of a sudden grandma done put the icing on it, which is Jesus. Amen. All of a sudden he brings it out. Look at it. What's it say? Purpose-driven. Amen. Purpose-driven. We're purpose-driven. We have a purpose. Yes, give me some praise in the house today. You don't even have to ask anyone to come to the table to get a piece of cake. You already asked me, how much did the church pay for that part of you? The other part is, I can't wait to sink my teeth in that. And the other part, wonder if that's real. And the other part, wonder if we're going to get any, amen. But yes, we all have purpose, and we all going to get some, amen. Give God a hand clap. Listen, I'm ready to close now because we're going to have some fun now. We'll have some baptism in a second. But listen, you don't have to show out. Your gift will make room for you. You don't got to act anyway. You ain't got to do nothing special. You don't got to jump so high, duck so low, spin so many times. You go ahead and begin to walk in that fresh anointing. You go ahead and allow God to be Lord of your life. You go ahead and lead your wife or your husband like you're supposed to, and you begin to show them. I know one thing, it's for me and my house, we're serving the Lord, and it starts right here. You just go ahead and you begin to do what's right, and you go ahead and watch. Oh, there's going to be some conflict. There's going to be some butter-eating, salt-eating, sugar-eating stuff going on. But I want to tell you, when he begins to shape and he begins to repurpose, when he begins to do what he's going to do with your life, when he purposes your life that he already has from the beginning of time, all of a sudden he gets into that old hard heart, and he begins to work on that hardened heart. It's says the heart says it's evil, it's beyond cure. Who in the world can understand it? But then God says in the same word, but the life, the heart is the wellspring of life, and everything flows out of it. So all of a sudden, no matter what the enemy's trying to destroy, God will repurpose, and God will begin to make it the wellspring, and God will begin to use your testimony, amen. And he'll take that test, and he'll turn it into a testimony. Give him a hand clap of praise today. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says it this way, "For this reason I have sent you to Timothy," listen now, "and my son whom I love," to whom I love, and we begin to look at this, who is faithful, everybody say faithful. It says he's faithful in the Lord, amen. He will remind you of my way of Christ, of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So no matter what's going on, we need to be teaching what Jesus Christ said from the beginning of time, not adding to or taking away from, and not making it fit our mold. Begin to live the living word of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Timothy's role was to see that Paul's advice was received, it was read, and it was implemented. Everybody say it with me. I receive it. I'm going to read it. And now I'm going to implement it. See, the problem we have is we receive it and we read it, and then we forget to implement it after the sermon. We forget to go out and do what God's word says. Then he was to return to Paul and report to the church of the church's progress. So you return to the foot of the cross. You're to return to the altar of repentance. You are to return and allow Christ to know, God, thanks for using me, and here am I. If you want to use me some more, God, here am I. And in his word, he says, I just need a willing vessel. Today, you sit inside of a church that this crazy guy that came from all the badness of the world, I just said, God, here am I, use me. And he says, well, I want you to preach. And I said, no, well, that's one thing we got. I ain't preaching. All right, now we got to deal with this. I ain't leading either, because I've been a leader my whole life. Don't want to lead, don't want to preach, but I do everything else. Guess what? He said, okay, I'm going to work on obedience. Back into the oven. I went into the oven and things got mixed up. I didn't like it. It got shaped. Come back out and there's too much of me on the toothpick. I come out of the oven, that toothpick, and I thought, well, I'm going to do it right. I got it right, went back in, got baked again, come back out. Too much of me on the toothpick. And so after a while, I began to understand, God, you're purposing me. God, you're shaping me. And then he said, all right, you're not going to Atlanta, Georgia and take that job as a pastor of that multi-facility church. You're not going to go down there and do that, and you're not going to go here and do that. I positioned you and I purposed you for 340 South Plum Street. So get used to what I purposed you for. Amen. So then all of a sudden we begin to understand that we literally have missionaries that came through this church the last 8 years that's all over the entire world doing everything that you can think of, and it wouldn't have happened if I would not have been obedient, and the things that God's called you for will not happen until you become obedient to what God has called you to. Can you say amen? Amen. I want to finish with this. We got to receive it, read it, and implement it. And all of a sudden, I want to talk to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the nature of a true apostle or apostleship here. And it says this in verse 1 of chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. This then is how you ought to regard us. Say it. As servants. And as a servant, as a slave to Christ, we have no rights. Our right is in Christ. I can do nothing apart from Christ, but I can do all things in Christ, amen? It says, as servants of Christ and those who entrusted with the mysteries that God has revealed to us, amen? Verse 2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Back into the oven. Every time that toothpick has something on it, back into the oven. I care very little if I am judged by you or by the human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. Verse 4, my conscience is clear. See, today somebody's conscience needs to be cleared. But that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Amen. It's not the church. It's not the pastor. It's not your spouse. It's not your co-worker. It is judge. Amen. The judge and the jury is Jesus Christ himself. And in 1 Corinthians in 14 and 21, listen to this. Paul has an appeal and a warning for us here. It says in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Everybody there? I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Let me stop and pause. See, the problem today when you walk in and out of church and you walked out condemned, that old pastor said, that Sunday school teacher, that choir condemned me, amen. I was at the altar and they bound me up. Listen, it's called conviction, not condemnation, amen. What God is doing is he's doing a personal work on you. Nobody up here knows anything that God's doing with you. We're just trying to love you into repentance, amen. We're trying to love you into God's conviction. It has nothing to do with us. Let me keep going. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. See, you're different brothers and different sisters with the same mother, but we got a different father, amen? We begin to understand we have a father who is in heaven, amen? In verse 16, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Imitate me. Let them talk about you. Let them naysay you. Let them say whatever they want, but you just continue to do what God ordained and called you and purposed you and anointed you to do. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, who I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everything in every church. So all of a sudden, what happens is we begin to understand of the purpose. Verse 18, some of you have become arrogant. Everybody say, uh-oh. Now, that's something I had to battle with, amen, and most of us will in life, is we have an arrogance. All of a sudden, God begins to use us. God begins to bless us. God begins to reanoint us. God begins to repurpose us. And what would the enemy do but bring up arrogance and think there's something good in us when there ain't nothing good in us, amen, but Christ Jesus who lives in us, amen. We can give him a hand clap, hallelujah. Well, then we begin to understand what's going on here. We begin to understand how he's using here. But he says, some of you have become arrogant and as if I were not coming to you, but I will come to you very soon if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. So what happens is when we're being arrogant, when we're being rude or self-centered to other people, believers or non-believers, what happens is we empty ourselves of the power that lives inside of us. But listen, God's word says, I have endued you with power from on high. Amen. What's that mean? That you can do the things that Jesus Christ did when he walked this earth. You can begin to speak to darkness in the name of Jesus. You can begin to speak to addiction in the name of Jesus. You can begin to speak to whatever it might be in the name of Jesus. And what it says, and this too shall pass. Amen. So no matter what the devil's lying to you about today, you begin to speak to it in the name of Jesus, and this too will pass. Amen. Give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. But then all of a sudden we look at verse 20 and it says, but the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. It's not a matter of talk. It's not about how much lip service, but all of a sudden, you begin to speak with some power, amen. It doesn't matter what they call you, what they say about you, and how they try to drag you into the muddy water. You go ahead and let God be God. It says in verse 21, what do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit? He's saying, you want me to beat you up and knock you down? or you may just love you. Well, he chose love. He chose love, and he crawled up on the cross of Calvary for you and I. It doesn't matter how rebellious we are. It doesn't matter what ingredient we're experiencing today. It doesn't matter if we're getting shaped in a different pan. It doesn't matter if we're back in the pan. It don't matter how hot it is, if the timer's on or off. It doesn't matter when the toothpick's stuck in you. When all of a sudden you come out and there ain't nothing, and he can't see nothing but you, all of a sudden he says, oh, I'm pleased with my brother and sister, with my creation. It's ours. It's his creation. So what Paul is saying is this. I'm going to close it with this. The abuse, the death, the elements that we looked at, the abuse, the death of a loved one, your divorce, losing your health, losing your house, it is light. It is light. But you begin to say, Pastor, you don't know what I went through, and you're calling that light. I'm not calling it light. He is. He's telling you, in light of that, I still got your back. He told you, Job, you know what? I had the devil, I had to tell him, have you considered my servant Job? Because I knew that Job could be trusted. I knew he'd be faithful. I knew he'd go through it. I knew he'd go back into the oven. You know what he said? David, you a man, I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to have you slay that big giant. But when it's all done and over with, he's that speed bump. He ain't a giant no more. You're going to mess up after that, but at the end, you'll still be a man after my own heart. He said, Daniel, I'm going to put you in a lion's den. And he said, you can't, but when you begin to call my name, I'll shut the mouth of that lion for you. He began to tell Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it doesn't matter what King Nebuchadnezzar says to you. He says, if you will be faithful and you will walk into the fire, I'll bring you through the fire, and they won't even be as much as a stench upon you from that fire. And all of a sudden, King Nebuchadnezzar looks into that same fiery furnace, and what's he say? There's a likening of an image of a fourth person, the likening image of Jesus Christ. And what's that say? If God's before us, who in this world is going to be against us? Amen? Amen. So it doesn't matter what the enemy says. I could keep on giving you example after example after example out of the Bible. But the truth is this. God is looking for faithfulness. God's looking for toothpicks. God's not looking for stuff on the toothpick. What God wants to see is he wants to see his own image reflected in and through you. I know your trial seems heavy. But there's a saying here as the praise and worship team comes back up. There's a saying here that I think we've got to capture. We begin to understand that the abuse, the death, the divorce, the health issues, we begin to understand the loss of things. It seems like it. You know what? If anybody's ever been overcome by any of that besides me, I've been overcome by all that. But the truth was, is that when I finally got through, I was like, man, that really wasn't that big a deal. It wasn't really that big a deal. God, you have purpose through that trial also. Then he says it is for a moment when we talk about this stuff. All those years you cried and all those years you did without, all the hardships and all the heartbreak and all the hurt that you went through yesterday, today, and you're going through tomorrow. He says it's light. It's light. It says this is the reason. It says this. It says it worketh continually in the scripture we just read. Now listen, that's the past tense. It works, it's going to work, and it's always working. Whatever God said, he's promised and he will deliver. It says it worketh. It means continually. He is continually working on you individually. He is continually working on you. It says it worketh continually. Even what you're going through now, it is working a far more exceeding weight of glory than what you could ever imagine. So as we stand over the house this morning, I want you to hear that loud and clear. It doesn't matter what the ingredients are. It doesn't matter how foul they look, taste, and smell individually. When he begins to purpose you and shape you and begins to bake you, and when the timer goes off and he sticks that toothpick in it, he don't want to see none of you, but he wants to see all of him, amen? And then all of a sudden, he can repurpose you for your ministry. If you've been going through here and you've been struggling with your ministry or coming to church or being able to speak out the mighty name of Jesus Christ, if you've walked around defeated and divorced, if you're walking around in a busted marriage, if you're walking around flirting with addiction or pornography, if you're fighting with eating habits this morning, whatever it is that you're fighting with this morning is what I'm trying to tell you. Today, there's no better day to come to the altar of repentance and allow God to be your true encourager. What you want to do is this, is begin to understand, that, and I know a lot of times we struggle with this, and if you can just see this. This cake has purpose. And this cake, when I bought it, it said nothing. But what happens when God bought you? He had nothing to say. He lets you make the decision, and you made it wrong like me and everybody else. And then all of a sudden, we turn to him, and he says, I have purpose. I have purpose for your life, and that's what was done at Calvary. And all of a sudden, we become purpose-driven no matter how much we messed it up, no matter which way we went, no matter how unforgivable we think we are, no matter how low we are, no matter how unforgiving we think we are, all of a sudden, God begins to tell you, it's not how good you are, it's how good my son was. And he came, and he died, and he rose again, and he intercedes at the right hand of the Father today for you and you alone. I'd like to propose that whatever God is going to do is going to be so heavy. It's going to be so heavy that your problem today will seem so light. As they begin to play music, the altar's open. We're going to have baptism immediately following service here. But listen, God has purpose for you, and the devil is a liar. I want you to come up today. I want you to stick that toothpick in, and I want you to allow God to pull it out when he says you're ready. The altar's open. As they begin to play, you guys come forward as you see fit.
What my eyes will see when your face